This is now unfamiliar test number two related to JC203, which I will dictate at 200 words per minute. It is a bit more complex than the previous because it is reviewing some of the facts and applying the law. You will want to treat this as if you were writing the jury charge portion of an RPR. In other words, take it seriously and give it your all. Write it real time and mark it by listening to the audio when it ends. Once again, it will be longer than 5 minutes, which adds to your stamina, but if you want to note when 5 minutes is up, you will need to glance at the clock that you placed on your monitor. We're ready to begin. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the defense agrees that the act of deliberately discharging a rifle at a motor vehicle occupied by a human being in the circumstances presented here was an unlawful act. There is similarly no issue being taken by the defense with respect to the identity of the person who discharged the firearm. Mr. Allen has testified that he was the person who fired the rifle at the police vehicle. In these circumstances, ladies and gentlemen, given the position of the defense, you may conclude that the Crown has proven this first element beyond a reasonable doubt. This issue is not in dispute. You need not spend much time on this question because it has already been answered by the defendant. We move on to question two. Did the unlawful act of Mr. Allen cause the death of Constable Smith? In deciding this issue, you should consider all of the evidence concerning the cause of Mr. Smith's death, particularly the pathologist's report and the photographic evidence from the crime scene. The pathologist's findings have not been challenged in any way. The defense has admitted that the cause of Constable Smith's death was an injury resulting from a single gunshot wound to the head. In these circumstances, given the admission by the defense, you may readily conclude that the Crown has proven beyond a reasonable doubt that the unlawful act of Mr. Allen did cause the death of Constable Smith. You need not spend a lot of time on this question, ladies and gentlemen. We move on now to consider question three. Was the deceased, Constable Smith, a peace officer acting in the course of his duties? The Crown must prove beyond a reasonable doubt two things about Constable Smith at the time he was killed. First, that Constable Smith was a peace officer, which I will tell you that by legal definition includes a police officer, and secondly, that Constable Smith was acting in the course of his duties when he was killed. Both of these things must be proven. One is not enough. The crime scene evidence, the evidence of the sergeant who appeared as a witness, and the exhibits filed, including Constable Smith's letter of employment, all show that Constable Smith was a peace officer. You have evidence from a 911 tape that Constable Smith was dispatched on November 5th at 10:54 p.m. to respond to a complaint of an impaired driver. You have the paper seized from Constable Smith's home regarding his notes about the dispatch. When shot and killed at some time between 11 and 11:30 p.m., Constable Smith was dressed in the working uniform of a police officer. The uncontradicted evidence from the blood pattern analyst is that he was shot and killed inside a marked police vehicle. You have evidence from two citizens who were involved with Constable Smith just before his death. These citizens were assisting Constable Smith in his search for the subject of the impaired driving complaint, Mr. Allen. This issue is also not in dispute, and the defense admits that the deceased was a peace officer acting in the course of his duties when he was killed. Under these circumstances, ladies and gentlemen, given the position of the defense, you may readily conclude that the Crown has proven beyond a reasonable doubt that Constable Smith was a peace officer acting in the course of his duties when he was shot and killed. You need not spend a lot of time on this question. We move on now to consider question five. Did Mr. Allen have the necessary intent for murder? The Crown must prove beyond a reasonable doubt either that Mr. Allen meant to kill Constable Smith when he fired his rifle at the police vehicle, or that Mr. Allen meant to cause Constable Smith bodily harm that he knew was so serious and so dangerous that it was likely to kill him, and he proceeded to pull the trigger on his rifle despite his knowledge of this risk. This is called recklessness, ladies and gentlemen. Now please understand that the Crown does not have to prove that Mr. Allen had both these intentions. Proof of either state of mind is sufficient for murder. You do not all have to agree that Mr. Allen had the same intent, as long as each one of you is satisfied that one or the other intent has been proven beyond a reasonable doubt. I repeat once again, ladies and gentlemen, the Crown must prove that either Mr. Allen meant to kill Constable Smith when he fired his rifle, or that Mr. Allen meant to cause Constable Smith bodily harm that he knew was so serious and so dangerous that it was likely to kill, and he proceeded to pull the trigger despite his knowledge of this risk. This is the intent required for murder. Now, this intent does not require proof of advanced planning or premeditation. Intention is simply a purposeful action. This intention can be formed very quickly. It can be formed in an instant. But the important thing here is that either this intention to kill or the intention to cause serious bodily harm and the knowledge that this would likely kill must be in Mr. Allen's mind when he pulls the trigger. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the law requires that when Mr. Allen pulls that trigger, he's aware of the risk of deadly consequences and he takes a chance knowing this. So how are you to decide what was in Mr. Allen's mind when the shooting occurred? You obviously cannot see into a person's mind to answer what they intended. In order to answer this question, ladies and gentlemen, you must obviously look at all the evidence about what Mr. Allen said and did, his words and conduct immediately before and at the time of the shooting. You must consider the nature of the harm inflicted on Constable Smith and how this was done. You must carefully consider Mr. Allen's testimony in the witness stand. You should consider what he is reported to have said to others after the shooting. All of these things may give you clues about what was intended by Mr. Allen when the shooting occurred. They may help you to decide what Mr. Allen meant to do or what he did not mean to do when he pulled the trigger on the rifle. Now, you may take into account, as a matter of common sense, that a person usually knows what the predictable consequences of their actions are and usually means to bring them about. This is common sense. This is a conclusion that you may reach after considering all the evidence in this case, ladies and gentlemen, but this is not a conclusion that you must reach. Indeed, you must not do so on the whole of the evidence, including the evidence related to Mr. Allen's intoxication and his stated intention to scare the policeman if you have a reasonable doubt of whether Mr. Allen had the intent required for murder. This issue, the issue of intent, is really what this case is all about. This is the issue that is in dispute. This is the issue that really requires your attention. And there you have this, I don't know how long 200 word per minute jury charge selection. Take care.